We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Previously on Gresh and Keefe.
And how would you characterize the process?
That's, we don't have time for that.
You did shed some light on it.
Yeah. Hey, just trying to help out.
This is Gresh and Keefe.
Good Lord, what is wrong with you? A lot. That's why you listen to the show, and that's why you'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Keefe and I will be here at Gillette Stadium for joint practices.
Andy Gresh.
You're watching our show, which is fantastic.
Yes, right.
So I'm happy. And two, Gresh and I see the same nutritionist.
Rich Keefe.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
NFL MVP.
I'm going with Baker Mayfield.
Of course.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
Gresh and Keefe right now.
There is suddenly hope for the Jets after Sam Darnold's triumphant return from mono last week.
On WEEI.
Oh boy, some of the collected works of not only Gresh and Keefe over the years, but also it is joint practice day.
Woo!
Number one.
Yes.
It was lightly attended yesterday, but yeah, it is SRO here at Gillette Stadium today, Keefe.
A palpable buzz in the air.
Ooh.
You can feel it. You can feel it, you know, walking out here. That, yesterday was sort of a, let's just kind of get through this, right? There was maybe half the amount of people, or maybe less than that, in the stands. And now it's like you got both sets of bleachers are full. You got people standing around. Right now the two teams are separated, one on one field, one on the other. But, yeah, it's good. It's exciting. This is the most exciting day at camp by far.
No question. And you could hear the music in the background as the Patriots are on field. I think this is field two that they have the skinny goalpost. And the Panther are warming up on field one. Of course, they've got both of their pseudo starting quarterbacks listed on their roster. We'll see how Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold sort of rotate things today. But you had Trent Brown yesterday, who had some, I don't even know if we'd say strong words, but it is good to know that there is and was a New England Patriot that was willing to acknowledge kind of how big these 2 days are for this football team. And Trent Brown yesterday talked about the meaningfulness of today.
Player, what are the benefits for you going up against a different team?
I think that's the benefit right there, just seeing some different guys, different bodies. Definitely the competition level, I think, will go up. It has to, or you get your ass beat out here. Just trying to win everywhere.
Do you think that will be a test to see where you guys are offensively?
Yeah, I think this will be our first test, yes.
First big test.
For sure.
Pretty interesting.
Because none of those guys played in the first preseason game,
right?
That's right. I mean, Cole Strange did. That's a guy we think is a starter. But nobody else did. And we had Andy Hart on yesterday, and he was saying, if you really think about it, the starters haven't done much in the last week. They've had a few unpadded practices, and then they sat during the preseason game. So this is the first thing in a while, maybe the first real true big day in camp, because even if you go back to the first full padded practice, there was some energy there, right? But but there wasn't a lot of contact, even though they were in full pads. This you're going to get a lot more out of. We know Belichick loves doing these. He's been doing these for years. And so this is one I'm sure they had circled, you know, for both sides, get a little bit of a test. And not going up against the same guys every day. Isn't that one of the things we're saying with the offense? And not to give them an excuse, but there are probably times where the defense knows what's coming because they're like, all right, here we go again.
Of course.
We're running this again.
And you know the calls and the line calls and signals.
Yeah, you're just so familiar with it.
Oh, he's lined up an extra foot outside. Yeah. Here comes the slant.
So, again, this is a different opportunity. And like Trent Brown said, a chance to sort of, prove if the work has paid off to this point, or the other side, you know, just how far away you still are to getting where you want to go.
I thought you were saying that a lot of these people were here to rejoice because, like you have the glow of vacation for the next couple of days.
Oh, well, that's also true.
You know?
Feeling a little bit of that. Maybe that was the buzz I was talking about.
That is the buzz. That's exactly right. Well, it'd be the buzz that'll match at 9 o'clock tonight when you hit your destination.
Uh-huh.
We are up on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I know the Lappy is connected. We're going to get that squared away. I also, who has the most to prove today? Now, I know that on the...
Do you want a player or do you want a group?
Well,
because I have a group in mind.
Well, of course. But I'm talking about individual players who opportunity knocks. Now, we find out today that not only today is the day that the Patriots have to get down to 85, and, well, they needed to trim two heads, let's call it.
Yeah.
And one in Jawan Williams will take care of itself. Apparently, he is done for the year. And I would dare say he will go quietly into the sweet night after this season because... His deal will be up as a second rounder. And
yeah, you don't get cut. You go throw an IR.
That's
right. He wasn't going to make this team anyway.
He was not.
It was bad in the preseason game.
He did him a favor.
Yeah, really. And that's a position where somebody could emerge, right? They just took two rookies at that position.
Yep.
And it seems like they both already leapfrogged Jawan Williams on the depth chart. So that was a second-round pick, and you add him to the list of the Rozai Dowlings and the Duke Dawsons and the Cyrus Joneses.
So does that mean today's a big day for Malcolm Butler?
Yeah, because that's a guy I still am not convinced he's on the squad, right? Mm-hmm. But again, he could also start. Like, it's a big kind of swing for Malcolm Butler. So I think, you know, Malcolm Butler, Terrence Mitchell, Jack Jones, they're all really competing for playing time. And obviously they could all play, right? It's a league where there's a lot of 3-4 wide receiver sets.
Yeah,
there could be times for all those guys.
You need six corners now. It used to be needed four or maybe five at the most because three would be on there. Now you're playing with pretty much three corners all the time.
Yeah, I would say that he is one of those guys that the next 2 weeks could go a pretty long way in, you know, what kind of future he has with the team.
Well, I think the safeties too, you know, see how those guys are kind of deployed today against another opponent or against an opponent that isn't themselves. I wrote down Yadni Kajust because right now, and Bill Belichick talked to the media a little earlier today, apparently Isaiah Wynn, like us all, day-to-day.
Man.
But he is not going to be out there, apparently. So Yadni Kajust is, in the starting lineup, I would assume, this morning.
Yeah, that's true. And then same with, like, on Wenu, like, where we've penciled him in, but then there's always sort of, like, rumblings about his fit and him moving position. And it's like PFF grades him one way, but a lot of other people maybe kind of view him another, including the Patriots. You know, last year he became the sixth lineman.
But they haven't pulled him out of the starting lineup yet.
He hasn't been in there.
Which I would think either he's figuring it out or they're figuring out how to work with him.
They just don't have a Ted Karras to take his spot.
They don't trust Arlington Hambright just yet?
Arlington Hambright.
Pinkies in the
air. Not just yet. No, but that whole group has a lot to prove because some of those practices that the offense got dominated, how many times was it the O-line?
Yeah.
Giving up a would-be sack or a run stuff or whatever. So those guys going up against this Carolina defensive line I think should be a pretty good test.
Let me throw another one at you.
All right.
How about Ty Montgomery? It smells like opportunity is knocking for this guy. And I know we had the caller whenever they signed Ty Montgomery.
Ty Montgomery? That's right.
Well, guess what? Ty Montgomery might be the new James White on this team.
Yeah, and I think when you remove...
Ty Montgomery?
you remove James White and Brandon Bolden from the team.
Yep.
That allows some more opportunity for somebody. And I know it was just one preseason game, but between that and the practice reports that we've read and seen, doesn't feel like the rookies are probably going to have much of a impact this season. At least, again, long way to go in camp, and they got these practices. Maybe they could really kind of shine. But it feels like Ty Montgomery is squarely ahead of Strong and Kevin Harris.
No doubt.
So I'm with you. I think Ty Montgomery, I just think he can't fall on his face. Like I feel like he's probably penciled in to be that third down back, you know, catch a few passes, get a few carries here and there. Again, just don't screw it up, and he's probably in a good spot.
I would think so. I know he got a red zone carry yesterday with whatever the Patriots are doing. By the way, each team is still going through what you would just term individuals. Like, it's almost like this is
two separate practices.
Yeah,
right now.
It's a preseason game, and everybody is just kind of warming up and getting ready, and then come together here for the main event. So that's good to see because everybody's going to work it up. They're going to get the sweat, and then they're going to get into. I'm going to assume we're going to have both fields working here. I would think so,
yeah.
It's going to be 11-on-11 on one side and 11-on-11 on the other in terms of the offenses and the defenses matching up. And I'm sure with both coaches' backgrounds, there'll be some special teams work thrown into today.
For sure.
Well, although, I don't know if they do special teams both days or if one day gets a heavier special teams look than the other. It'll be interesting to see kind of how this whole thing breaks down. And then I know we are not Carolina Sports Radio, but
we are not.
But I wrote down a fourth name on who it's a big day today for Your guy.
Baker Mayfield.
That's right.
Of course it is. I mean, he should be the starter. I think he's better than Sam Darnold, but Sam Darnold has that year of experience here already with the team and with the head coach and with a lot of the guys that are on the roster. But and they didn't give up much for Mayfield, so it's not like, oh, you gave up a second, so you have to play him.
That's
not
true. They gave up a second for Darnold.
They gave up a second for Darnold. But again, they've screwed up their whole quarterback thing going over the last 3 years. But I think Baker Mayfield will emerge as the starter, and this could be one of the first steps of that, right, where you get another team out there, and if he looks good against the defense, I would imagine he looks better than Sam Darnold. Like, I just think it's as simple as he's a better quarterback. But I would say both – I mean, Mac Jones, too. Mac Jones isn't getting any of the blame for the offense being bad so far, but let's see what he looks like today. Let's see if, you know, if Carolina's getting after him a little bit. Is he able to make some plays? Because against his own defense – he hasn't really been able to, and yet we've said, well, the O-line stinks, Matt Patricia stinks. We've been passing the buck on everybody else, but I'm definitely interested in Mac Jones as well.
And we may not even learn about really sort of what could be going on with Mac until the regular season, when it's really into the functionality of the offense. What sort of freedom does he have at the line of scrimmage to sort of move people around, move things around? You know, is this going to be a – hey, you got to run what we've called because it's just where we're at in terms of the offense? Or is there some freedom there from Mac Jones? And you're right. It'll be interesting to see everything going on around Mac and then how he sort of responds to it. Also, how they coach it up as well. I mean, trust me, neither of the QBs on either side are getting foobarred today. Don't get me wrong.
Well, no, that's the one thing that both sides, that all the quarterbacks are in the red non-contact jerseys. I know the punters and kickers are as well. So maybe there will be some special teams, just so make it clear, don't touch these guys. Please stay away from the kickers and the guys that throw the ball.
Neither team wants to spend more money on kicking, so let's make sure we're not.
Don't touch that.
That's right.
No, but because Mac didn't play in the preseason game, that attention sort of pivots to like today and tomorrow, and I'm sure he'll play on – well, actually, I'm not sure. I hope he plays on Friday, but at least in these 2 days, you'll get an opportunity to see him against, you know, a number one defense from another side.
617-779-7937. One of the questions that we have to get into while this practice is going on is, what is your level of panic right now on the Patriots offense? Because on one end, it is early. On the other hand, you're now into what really is a critical week of practices for not only the team, but also there's 30 guys out here on each side right now that are trying to earn themselves a job on a football team. And that in and of itself makes this a big week, because for a lot of these guys, you're going to find out if they could sink or swim. Some dudes are going to earn themselves a roster spot the next 2 days, and some dudes are going to earn themselves the right to play in the final preseason game and then go off to washing cars or whatever it is that they're going to do. But I know that the Greg Hill Show had the poll up of, are they a playoff team or not? I want to know the level of panic in terms of offensively, and that leads us to James White, where tonight at 6:30, there's going to be a retirement ceremony for James White, which we can dig into a little bit later on, but James also went on Good Morning Football the day after he announced his retirement.
That's right.
And he got asked about the offense, the coaches, what's going on in New England. Here's what James White told the crew on NFL Network.
I think a lot of people are kind of rushing to judgment when it comes to all that. Bill's coached a lot of football. Matty P's coached a lot of football. So is Joe Judge. And then you just got to let those guys work. A lot of coaches coach a lot of different positions before they end up being an offensive coordinator. They could have coached on the defensive side of the ball at first. And I don't think a lot of people really realize that a lot of coaches coach a lot of different positions before they get, you know, kind of their quote unquote main job. So then they got to let those guys work. There's a lot of talent on that offense from the quarterback position, offensive line, tight ends, running backs, receivers, very deep at the receiver position. So I think Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, Bill Belichick, they're putting those guys in the right position to be successful. And I think Patriots fans will be happy with the product that they put out there this year. They have a lot of talent, and the coaching staff is trying to do their best job to put guys in position to succeed.
And that's where we're going to pick it up next with you at 617-779-7937. Are you kind of with James White on this, or is your level of panic, I don't know, maybe at a 7 or a 10, and then maybe the next couple of days will kind of calm you down? We will get into that. We're up and running on Twitch. You can listen to us on the Odyssey app. And much to the chagrin of the 413, here's John back in the saddle again, ready to tread.
Gresh and Keith, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by McDonald's. Download the app, join My McDonald's Rewards, and start earning points good for free food every time you order. Excludes delivery, download, and registration required. Sox start a three-game road set with the Pirates tonight at 7:05 with Nick Pivetta opposing Mitch Keller. Joe Castig and Will Fleming have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Tune into the Visit Massachusetts pregame show tonight at 6:05 with Mutt, sponsored by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Start your Massachusetts summer adventure at visitma.com. Gresh and Keefe are live from Patriots training camp, day one of joint practices with the Carolina Panthers. Tom Curran will join the guys at the field coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, and Andy Hart will do the same at 1 o'clock. Ian Rappaport reported this morning that Jawan Williams is out for the season with a shoulder injury. Isaiah Wynn, Malcolm Butler, and Justin Herron also absent at practice. Some of the Celtics' 2022 regular season schedule has leaked. The Seas will host the 76ers in their season opener on October 18th. And finals rematches with the Warriors will be on December 10th in Golden State and January 19th in Boston. Trending also brought to you by Cape Cod Lumber. What's on deck this season? How about a beautiful new deck and rail system from TimberTech? At CCL Homescapes in Abington, you'll see a huge selection of TimberTech products. TimberTech decks are a low-maintenance alternative to wood. Let the experts at CCL help you enjoy life from your new deck. CCLCO.com. I'm John Anderson. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Your level of panic with the Patriots offense. Are you as freaked out as others? Grab that line. And we will hear from Matt Patricia. Something he said yesterday. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Gresh and Keith, live from Patriots training camp on WEEI.
What is your understanding of the nature of that process? Is it competitive? Is it collaborative? Is it a little bit of both? How would you characterize that process?
I mean, honestly, it's just collaborative from that standpoint. You know, I mean, we follow Coach Belichick's lead. You know, I mean, it's obviously I'm just trying to do my job to the best ability, whatever he asked me to do on any given day. And that's the beauty of it. That's what I love. You know, it's always kind of new and exciting and challenging from that standpoint. But we're all just working together right now, which is the great part about it.
So that is Matt Patricia yesterday when asked about the topic that we tackled, which was define the process. And, of course, Matt Patricia working with the offensive linemen right now. So on one half of each field, we have the marrying of the large O's. So we have O-line, D-line, O-line, D-line, and then there's also some passing drills, really one-on-ones going on right now where boy, the Carolina quarterbacks have not been accurate so far in this drill. Sam Darnold airmailed a wide receiver who shook open, couldn't see who the Patriots defender was. And, it's been
Darnold
interesting.
So they basically split up the two fields into half, right? So you have Darnold and Baker Mayfield on one half of it. You have the backup, Matt Corral, P.J. Walker at another end. Then you have Mac Jones and Brian Hoyer. And then you have Zappe up there with some of the Hosses, the furthest away from us.
Yeah, but it looks like near the Hosses, they're kind of in between where the main quarterbacks are and then where the Largos are. There's running backs working on, it looks like, linebackers and things like that. By the way, there are officials here.
A ton of them.
So there's
like 30 officials
there. Really are. Yeah, so I don't know. Let's see.
I saw them walking up the stairs on their way here. I was like, I thought it was a third team. They were like these. They're all wearing their stripes. I'm like, holy smokes.
They were here to do their yearly presentation on the points of emphasis and things like that.
Yeah.
So your level of panic, if there even is any, at 617-779-7937. We heard from James White. Which
sounds like a Patriot, which makes sense. He's only been retired for a day.
That's true.
He does sound like one.
And you never know if he'll be welcome back. By the way, Rob Ninkovich is here. Apparently doing some, or was coaching up Josh Uche at one point.
Oh, how about that?
And I guess Pat Chung is here as well, working with the defensive backs. So
nice.
Always good to see those guys back here and just kind of trying to help everybody out. We can talk about the Patriots offense at 617-779-7937. So a guy who has gone on to become a talk show host in San Diego is Rich Ornberger, former Patriots offensive lineman from, now we have to say back in the day. I think if it's over 10 years, back in the day.
That's a generation ago.
So Ornberger tweeted yesterday at 5:10 p.m., lots of Patriots doubt being peddled this offseason. Buyer beware. The purpose of preseason is to tinker, experiment, and work on weaknesses. I'll never understand the impulse to assume Belichick doesn't know what to do now that Brady is gone. It's bizarre.
That's
a guy who has not been around this organization.
No.
And I would say it's about 15 years, I think.
Yeah,
and interesting that just kind of came out of nowhere.
But I don't know. So Rich is in San Diego, so he hasn't been here at these practices. Because if you read what some of the beat writers are saying, who have covered the team for 20-plus years, it's some of the worst offensive practices they've ever seen. So that to me is not nothing, and that's not to be like, oh, they'll figure it out. Because guess what? Bill also, in those 20 years, did have Tom Brady and an offensive coordinator for all of those years. He doesn't have either of those things now.
That Tom Brady piece of it's pretty
it's pretty important, let's face it.
Well, but also
and that's not
in
the pile on Bill and say it was only Tom.
Right.
I mean, I think you can't ignore the fact that Tom could kind of make up for a lot of things.
No doubt. But that's also from those media people basically saying, I haven't seen an offensive practice this bad since 2000, which was Brady's first year and he wasn't doing anything. So there is the perspective on each side.
But I think they're saying that, and they're not even saying it's Mac Jones. They're not even like, oh, it's the quarterback drop-off
that's
the
good
problem.
Point. It isn't.
It's the O-line. It's the communication. It's the changing of the offense. It's all of that stuff. And, again, they're the only team in the league that is doing, you know, this offensive coordinator thing where they don't have really offensive coordinators, guys that have NFL experience but not doing what they're doing. So I get why there's cause for concern, and I guess maybe Rich Ornberger will be right. Maybe some of these guys will be right. Like, oh, you know, Bill knows what he's doing. It's like, well, did he know what he was doing when he replaced Tom Brady with Cam Newton? Did he know what he was doing when he replaced Rob Gronkowski with Matt Lacoste? Did he, like, no. I would say no to those
things.
Well,
do you think he knew that Gronk was going to retire?
I think he had to know that was a possibility. Mm. I would have said the last 3 years. And this doesn't mean you can only have one tight end on the roster. You're allowed to have others. You could have gotten Jared Cook.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think they were surprised that Gronk retired?
Oh, I do. Yeah, oh, of course. Well,
but
first
like,
of all,
he was kind of he's dealt with so many injuries.
It's
he was
a level
older.
Of arrogance. I mean, you got to remember that it's the of course they're going to come back. Like there is the part of me that I do think that with Brady, it was of course he'll come back. He's bitched every year. He's come back every year, and then eventually, kind of the sand runs out of the hourglass, and then it turned into the who's Brady mad at? Is he mad at Bill? Is he mad at Robert? And then it's well, we got to reset the cap, Robert, and then Robert agreed because the next year he spent $100 million putting that in
my
escrow.
Guess, I don't follow the great Rich Ornberger, but my guess is 2 years ago when he signed Cam Newton, I bet he was like, see, Bill's got a plan. You
that
guys
was
watch.
Only Wiggy.
Okay. Well, and like, listen, the first few games, Cam Newton actually was okay. And so maybe people were saying that, but there was one of those things where, you know, how could he possibly do this? I remember some of the guys in the league but covered the league, like Michael Lombardi and others were like, all these teams are kicking themselves. Like, how did the Patriots land Newton? And you're like,
no.
Well, they got him because he stinks now, and they had
Cam's going to end up signing an extension in New England. They can't let Cam go.
They did.
So, listen, I'm not even trying to pile on Bill. Like, I think it's crazy with the people that give Brady all the credit and all of that, but to just be like, how could you possibly doubt Bill? It's like, I don't know. Like, over the last 3 or 4 years, we've had a number of reasons to maybe question some of the things that he's done, especially when it's come to roster construction.
Yeah, no, and the more that now there is kind of Brady being further away from the organization, the more I think we realize that there was a lot of turmoil in that year in 2019. And by the way, it also led to them getting bounced in the playoffs early.
Saying, even 2018, when you go back and look at it all, 2018, it's amazing that they won the whole thing.
Well,
like, there were buttonheads that whole year.
And by the way, I also think, too, that that's another reason why, at least now on the Brady end, you knew the contract was coming up. With Gronk, you knew it was kind of coming to an end. But I don't think in there, like, you come off a Super Bowl, and then it's like, oh, wait a minute, this guy's going to then turn around and walk away on me. Maybe at least thought that, and I think there was the assumption too. And again, now that we can look back, considering it's now like 4 years ago, for God's sakes, that I think there was the thought that as long as Brady's here, Gronk will be here and they'll be fine.
Yeah, but I mean, either way, they could have had two tight ends, right? Like, they used to pair him up with Martellus Bennett, or they tried the Scott Chandler experience, and it literally went from Rob Gronkowski to Ryan Izzo, Matt Lacoste, and the corpse of Ben Watson. Like, that's like a horrible, horrible backup plan. And I also think this year the same thing happened where Josh McDaniels left, and I don't know if they thought they were getting Bill O'Brien or what, but I can't imagine that this is. And Bill will probably spin it in a way like, oh, we got great confidence in these guys and they're experienced coaches and everything else. But when McDaniels left, I bet they were either surprised that he left or they thought that it'd be easier to replace him than it ended up being.
I don't think people are as panicked as some of the media is. I really don't. Now, well, maybe
because they
that
haven't
is,
seen it.
Well,
the
maybe,
media's seen every practice.
Well, maybe there is the in Bill we trust factor.
Yeah.
And again, I think Ornberger's right. Like, there's a lot of the. We're going to throw it at these guys to make them look like idiots in practice because that's going to be the easiest way for us to coach them up, at least right now.
Yeah.
Now, with Cole Strange, it's a little different. There are times he's going to look like a rookie. I think there's the other part of this, and we're going to be out in front of this by even mentioning it now here on, what, August 16th? And that is we have heard for years, even when Brady was here, even coming off of Super Bowls, every year, first four games are a part of the work in progress with this group. And I wonder if the first 4 weeks, if we apply that theory, which was here even when Brady was here, how much is that going to kind of either turn up the heat or do these coaches put pressure on themselves to be like, listen, we got to at least have a minimum baseline, if not more. We've got to be more prepared going into a regular season than we ever have because we might not have that sort of four-week buffer to sort of quote-unquote figure it out.
Yeah, I kind of throw that out the window. Not that it won't be the mentality and not that they won't be better week five than they are week one. Mm-hmm. Like, you think most teams probably should be. But before, if you somehow went 2-2 out of the gates – guess what? You're still probably going to be 12-4, right? It was just like the way the Patriots operated.
Yeah.
Like, they could get over that. Whereas if this team starts 1-3, I don't think they dig out of that hole. And I think the AFC is too good. And again, if your goal is to make the playoffs, right? Like, I don't know. I think people and fans probably have different goals for the season, right? I don't think anybody's saying Super Bowl.
No one is.
You have another layer down where it's playoffs, right? You made the playoffs last year, make the playoffs again this year. Or it's just develop Mac Jones. Make sure that Mac Jones is 100% the guy. Let's see a step forward. Maybe it's not in every single stat category, but just is he proving, like, all right, he's definitely a franchise quarterback. That, to me, is the more realistic goal. Because I think, again, the AFC is loaded this year. A lot of teams changed and added quarterbacks and added big-time skill players. So I think it's going to be tough to make the playoffs. But you can still have a silver lining if your quarterback proves that he's the guy.
617-779-7937. You can listen to us anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Ask your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. This is interesting because Phil Perry did a little piece yesterday on Jonnu Smith's usage for 2022. And also in that same piece, they talked to Ed McCaffrey. Of course, Ed McCaffrey, his son Christian, is here playing for the Carolina Panthers.
Pretty and good player.
Yeah, he's a very good player, no doubt. I mean, among the few that are better than dad, you know, a lot of times
better. Like, Ed was good, but
Ed was a really good player.
Yeah, Ed was good.
But, like, Jackie Slater went to the Hall of Fame. His son will be a Patriots Hall of Famer. Still pretty good, but it's a lofty goal to be able to get to, obviously. And Slater's one of the best people around. But Ed McCaffrey talked about what they're trying to incorporate into this kind of outside run game. And that's why I quibbled with people on the whole. They're running Sean McVay's offense. No, they're not. They're running old school Denver Broncos and what the young Shanahan is doing in San Francisco.
But Shanahan worked with McVay, too. Like,
well,
so there
I think there's,
some,
a, there's
a lot
there's
of,
a little cross-pollination.
Yeah.
But I forgot, Sean McVay invented the offense that Mike Shanahan ran in the 80s.
He's Air Coryell.
I forgot about that. That's right. Yeah, that's right. The real Air Coryell was born in, like, 1980.
Yep, 100%.
But Ed McCaffrey talked about how it takes a while for the offensive line to kind of get that outside zone. And then it triggered some thought because yesterday you and I saw Jonnu Smith lining up as the fullback.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when they put Kevin Faulk out wide?
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be like, uh-oh, That guy can't cover him. They have, like, you know, a guy with the profile of, like, Shime out there
trying
to cover him down the field. This is the new mismatch, I think.
John like, Smith?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for this maybe. Reason, it you,
he scares me.
You have to decide whether you're going to deal with him with a safety or a linebacker. We've talked about the Patriots configuration and that whether it's Adrian Phillips or Kyle Duggar or Jabril Peppers, which still waiting to kind of see how that all is going to work out. You had those guys that you hope can stop the run, but they wouldn't get pantsed if they had to cover someone like Jonnu Smith out of the backfield. Now, then again, if you put a bigger guy in there, it's, oh, yeah, we're going to try to go play action to Jonnu. If it's a smaller guy, then you have a 250-pound tight end moving, blocking someone at the second level where he should have a physical mismatch. And I wonder if a part of all this offensive change that he really becomes the key, not because he's an amazing player,
he's not.
Because it forces the defense to decide, how am I going to do it? Am I going to treat this like a run look, or am I going to treat it like a passing look? And that's the guy you move around all over the place, and that's how you work your mismatch.
And I think it's some opponents that'll be more of an advantage than others, because you mentioned Kevin Falk. Like, that was a good example where there were certain times, late 90s, early 2000s, where you motion the running back out, and then some linebacker with a neck roll, the biggest pads has to, like, shift out there. And he's like, I don't want to do this. He's like, I just want to tackle running backs 3 yards
across
the line.
There's Brandon Spikes out lined up against him.
Like, so there's I'm thinking, like, Greg Lloyd. He's like, I got him. Like, there's less and less of those guys now. So Jonnu Smith, again, he's still a crazy athlete. But the problem is, so many of these linebackers and safeties now are also similar size, or, I mean, maybe not size when in certain safeties, but those guys also can run, right? Yep. Like, think about how many linebackers come into the NFL that run like 4.5 40s now. You're like, wait, what the hell?
And that's where you hope that if Max sees that, and it's like, okay, he's got somebody in there that can cover him.
Yeah.
Let's motion Jonnu out of the backfield, pull that guy out of the box. Now you're running against six, and that's where your bigger backs kind of take over. And that's where Ramondre Stevenson really could eat. And it's not, you know, being disrespectful to Damian Harris.
Oh, no.
But that's where you have that 225-pound type guy in there who then has the ability to take advantage of kind of six guys in the box. So we've now gone to team period.
Yeah, little ones-on-ones, right? 11-on-11, ones-on-ones.
Trying to see, is it ones on ones?
Yeah, Patriots offense to our left, and then Patriots defense to our right.
So interesting. So first play from Mac Jones is they fake stretch it to the left. Mac ends up doing a little pirouette in the pocket, and then right over the middle. I can't tell if that was Myers. It was Myers. Okay, well, 15 and 16 are.
It looks like Myers.
I know you're having issues with it.
I have
already.
The eyes up,
but
get Myers.
You the magnifying glass or something.
Well, Myers is like tucked his jersey up a little bit. Aguilar, as you can see, is longer.
Yeah, he's got the T-shirt hanging out underneath.
Does
and I know we're not allowed to do straight up play by play.
Well,
however, Yanni Kajust is in a right tackle. There is that, and they kicked – one of the refs just kicked – oh, you know what? They kicked Bourne out of the formation.
What, they have 12 in the huddle or something?
No, no. I think it's a uniform violation.
Oh,
I
come
think,
on.
I thought they were busting because Bill went right over there. So, I don't know. You're right. What, might it have been 12
these,
in the huddle?
These refs can't help themselves, can they?
Well, you know, God forbid you ask these – I mean, you know what? If these guys want to go play in shorts and expose their knees, then don't bitch whenever your knees get blown out. Like, I'm not saying that you got to have the big, thick knee pads covering you. But good Lord, when you pull it halfway up your thigh.
They're throwing flags on every play.
Oh, man.
It looked like a decent Harris run, but then flag. I think somebody was holding
there. I was going to say, what did they get?
The hold.
The refs are throwing the flag.
On every play.
But they're not necessarily. I mean, they did like, you know, PI defense just to let everybody know what was going on. But I couldn't tell if that was a hold. By the way, I think over near the down marker over there, Sarah Thomas, it looks like, is.
Oh, is it?
I think so. It's one of the officials over there. So,
real quick, I don't know if we mentioned this on the air, Gresh, but I know you'd mentioned no Isaiah Wynn, no Malcolm Butler, no Justin Herron today. Also, no Bill Murray or Juwan Williams, and we know
no
Juwan
Herron, after this season. Huh?
Yeah, no Justin Herron or Isaiah Wynn. So, if you're looking for the big fellas, and then no Butler.
Wow. So you're already down to your seventh offensive lineman in theory. Because if Herron is number six,
and Wynn and
could
Herron
just
are out,
be
yeah.
number seven. Yeah, Wynn would be one of your top five.
Yep.
So this is, I mean, if you're Yadni Kajust, this is a day where you can end up winning a job. Boy, Christian McCaffrey,
yeah,
man.
Ridiculous. And I don't know how much of it, because, again, they're not really tackling, right? Like, they're just kind of tapping, you know, like sort of like when they were playing against each other. So sometimes running backs will finish a run, you know, even though they would have gotten tackled. But that one looked like they were not going to tackle McCaffrey. It looked like he was going to scamper pretty good there.
Yeah, definitely no. And then a lot of play action from New England here early on, and a catch by Parker, one-on-one down the
catch.
Well, and you know what? And that's going to be something real interesting to see on the evolution of this offense,
yeah.
Because this isn't a Josh. This has nothing to do with Charlie Weiss, Bill O'Brien, Josh McDaniels, or even Matt Patricia, the new de facto OC. Mm-hmm. To me, it's a Bill Belichick thing. That's a low percentage play. Used to be.
But Parker's good at it. Specifically, Parker could do it.
But now it's also different, because I think you almost had to embrace it as a league. And not all the time.
Yeah.
But off play action, if you know that you have a mismatch. And again, Parker's what, 6'2", 6'3", something like that?
Yep.
You match him up against the right corner. I think the Patriots are going to be more willing to kind of take those chances now. Whereas before, it's like they were risk of it. They would have rather thrown the ball between the numbers with Tom Brady or stretched it in play action with Gronk down the field versus throwing up a one-on-one ball. And by the way, it wasn't like a Bailey Zappi ball either.
No,
it was thrown to a spot for a guy to go get it.
And there's also a big difference between throwing a contested pass to Devontae Parker and one to Jakobi Meyers.
Correct.
As good as Jakobi, you know, nice player, but he's a guy that's going to have to get shifty, get open, kind of catch it maybe in the middle of the field, where Parker's used to that. Like, you look at some of the stats over the last 3 years, guys catching the ball when they're not wide open, Parker's right up there.
Jonnu Smith with a carry.
Yeah,
so they
going
went
nowhere.
So they went bunch to the left by putting Ramondre Stevenson as the third guy on the inside of the bunch set there.
And a flag.
And then they handed it to – where was the flag? I
that,
missed
they,
it.
The deep guy just picked it up,
oh,
but he threw one from
it.
Way out there behind the defense.
Oh, it makes you – that's got – from where that
formation
official is –
or I don't know.
I was going to – the defensive holding you would think
maybe.
It would be. I don't know. I mean, that's a hell of a question, because you're right. The refs are everywhere.
Unfortunately, they're not mic'd up. That would have been something. How
no.
Every single time.
Jesus.
All out here.
They'd have run
delay
seven.
A game on the offense.
Seven plays. It's amazing how you can't see anything, but you see the flag.
I saw the flag. Well, maybe it's the color pops.
Oh, and a good deflection on a ball that Mac tried to squeeze in there over the middle to one of the wide receivers.
There's a lot going on. It's like
it's almost too much. It really
is. ADHD dream, where you can just go from one to the other, one to the other, one to the other.
It I wish they'd staggered the plays. You know, you run one on that field, and then you run one on this field, instead of it being two completely separate deals. Looks like Darnold is in.
Yeah, they've been going back and forth with Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold.
Well, it's the same they did with Mac and Cam. I guess you're going to make somebody earn it, right?
Yeah, somebody's going to win this job. I have not seen DJ Moore. I don't know if he's dealing with an injury or not, but Robbie Anderson's definitely out there. McCaffrey's out there. So a couple of their studs.
617-779-7937. You know, we have asked everyone connected with the Red Sox to ask Tommy Pham a certain question, and now it appears as if it is moot. Is Rob Bradford a traitor? We're going to discuss next.
This is Gresh and Keith getting you ready for Pats Training Camp 2022. Live from Gillette on WEEI.
What am I smoking dope?
This is Avengers Endgame. It's the very beginning of the film.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. And, you know, it's apropos of what we're going to talk about. I'll defend this one. It's a good choice.
Thank you, Rich.
So, WEEI.com. Rob Bradford has a story.
Bad Radford.
That I'm trying to pull up, and for some reason, of course, now.
What happened?
I gotta be honest with you.
I'm
about to throw half this stuff over the over the side. I really am.
Gresh is running a little hot today.
Good Lord.
Thank
Almighty.
God.
Almighty.
It's like 80 degrees and perfect outside.
I was just going to say, we did get a great
the
day.
The day is fantastic.
Yeah, we have no issue on the day, but here we go. I got this. So here is your headline.
Give me a headline.
Eric Hosmer, well-publicized fantasy football league, is back on the rails. So apparently Hosmer was in this whole Tommy Pham,
Mike
Jock
Trout.
Peterson, Mike Trout kind of league.
Okay.
And Eric Hosmer told one of the, I don't know, Bradfoe's high schoolers that apparently there is a new commissioner.
Well, yeah, Trout was on the hot seat. I think he got thrown out of there. There was a mutiny in the league, clearly.
But apparently the new commissioner is now getting this thing squared away.
Who is the commissioner? What did he say?
Did he
say who it was?
Coop was the one who figured out. I guess the new commissioner is someone named Steven Chia from Barstool, I guess. When Trout suggested there were issues. Now, Eric Hosmer refutes the notion that this high-end fantasy league is in disarray. And he pointed
out that... Sounds like it. You guys fighting each other.
Now, here's the reason why we have no chance now with Tommy Pham.
Okay.
Because Hosmer said the draft order has already been selected with the picking process on target in the coming weeks. So they've already figured out
their draft order
and stuff.
Pham can be in a couple of leagues.
Yeah, but it feels like the level of intensity and focus that is put into this.
Yeah. And let me ask you this. How much money is in that league? What's the buy-in? Keep in mind, Mike Trout makes, I think, $36 million a year.
I'm going to go, I still think it's a $10,000 buy-in. And then there's more money as you go. That would
could be.
Look, this seems like the kind of league, and some leagues
what
have
about
this.
About $25,000.
But here's the thing: this to me feels like a transactions league as well. That maybe you get your first five are free, and then after that, they're probably like $1,000 a pop or something.
Could be.
Given that it is because
they're intense on it.
I hate those leagues.
Yeah. Oh, when you just like it's not just one buy-in. It's
now
like,
I don't mind it.
Okay.
But I'd like the first 10. Like you get 10, and then after that. Because you know there's always one person in the league who's always like, every week, oh, I got to shift this guy, that guy.
Waivers is fair to me because if your team sucks, then you get the first crack at it the next week. Right? Like if you score the fewest amount of points, you have the number one waiver pick, and then that constantly shuffles. Because then there are auction leagues, right, where you get whatever your budget is, and then you also have a free agency budget.
Man.
I think we did that last year in the Gresham Keefe League where you had so many fake bucks to spend on waiver pickups, but you had to bid. Remember, so say there was a guy that was and it was blind bidding, so you'd be like, I'll give $20 for this guy.
Which I think we'll get.
We can get rid of that.
You and I are going to.
That's fine.
We're going to get a different platform to work on. And,
yeah.
We're going to sort of work on the rules.
But so you think Pham's a no-go, even though Fleming said he would ask.
He did, but it sort of feels like, when Eric Hosmer is saying,
they're pretty committed.
It's running smooth now. We like giving the commissioner a hard time, but he's been very thorough. He's been doing a good job so far.
Yeah.
But we have to keep him on his toes.
Do you have a problem with Bradford, is what you're saying?
Well, we were ahead of this a good 2 weeks ago in reaching out for help,
And he just wouldn't
When
do
you
it.
Realize you can't do something, you reach out for help. We did with Bradfo.
Right.
Bradfo show.
We screwed up. We probably should have went to Fleming first.
Fleming or Castiglione.
Fleming seemed to be the one. Because you're right. No one's going to yell at Castig.
No.
Even Tommy Pham would be like, you know what, sir?
No.
We'd send him a nice message. Yep. With Fleming, I don't know what the reaction would be. Bradfo, he just sold himself. He saw Tommy Pham, and he did admit, hey, I'm scared of the guy.
No, I respect that part. It wasn't like, yeah, I'll ask him, and then like, oh, shoot, I forgot.
But we were
on
this weeks ago.
Yeah, of course. As soon as he got traded here, it was like, let's get this guy in the league. So he's probably out. So we'll have to finalize this week or next, finalize the 12 who are in. We could send out the invites and everything else and what the stakes are. We'll do that.
And I do believe that if things go right, next week we will have a big fantasy update on something.
Very good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Because even if what I'm throwing into the mix here comes this week, you're going to be gone.
I'm going to be gone.
So
you've got to
wait till next week.
Okay.
So we can either do Monday or Tuesday. That's if everything sort of goes to plan.
Very good.
And it'll be talked about. Let's put it that way.
It'll be discussed.
It will be discussed. No question. 617-779-7937. By the way, NFL still waiting to put out their official ruling on Deshaun Watson. And apparently there's negotiations going on.
Is that right?
So the first time they didn't want to negotiate, got his 6 games. Now they're like, well, we can now really give you the year, or you can take your X amount of games and then go from there. And that seems to be what's going on. We'll give you the very latest from Patriots practice. And we also got to get to some basketball as well, so that we can kind of hopefully figure out what is going on with Jaylen Brown. And there was a little update yesterday from JB on his Instagram. We will get to that. But WEEI's training camp coverage is brought to you by Zooty. And as soon as this thing opens up, I'd be able to read the dadgum thing before I throw this effing computer and this whole setup here over the side of the damn ledge.
Or at least let us videotape that, because that'd be a good video of you smashing something.
So hang on. We'll get to it. Hang on.
I got you, Gresh.
Thank you.
I'm John doing it.
Training camp coverage on WEEI is brought to you by Zooty. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty, that's Zudy.com for your free trial. New England Spine Care, we've got your back at nespinecare.com. And Henry Elliott and Company, I don't even know what this word is.
How many times have you done
interoperability staffing Thank partner you. Of the healthcare IT industry at henryelliott.com.
There Good, and better hopefully- than nothing. Hopefully, I'll be able to pull up this PDF before the next time we need
Baker to. Baker Mayfield just threw a dart, by the way.
Good Lord.
I think he just won the job.
Yeah, I think I need a dart after this first hour and all this technical crap. We'll get into the latest from Pat Practice and on Jaylen Brown next.
Tonight, it's Sox and Pirates. Pre-game 6:05, first pitch 7:05. Brought to you by Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. This is your exclusive home of the Sox.
WEEI.
New England Sports Original. Original.
And streaming on the Odyssey app.
Odyssey knows that football fans can't get enough football. That's why we've got nonstop football coverage on the free Odyssey app. Podcasts and live shows dedicated to every pro team. NFL play-by-play and enough game talk for the most diehard fans. Local radio stations talking football, interviews with star players and coaches, and football fans being fans.
What kind of play calling was that?
Listen to everything you love about football, live and on demand with the free Odyssey app. Get in the game and download today.
The Fluent and McDonald's deal. Because sometimes, you can have a full-on conversation.
So good.
Without uttering.
You don't finish out?
A single word.
Uh-huh.
There's a deal for every unspoken word at McDonald's. Now, get a McChicken or a McDouble. Choose two for just $3.99. Pick two of the same or mix and match.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Price and participation may vary. Single item at regular price cannot be combined with combo meal.
Since 1958, CCL has served the building professionals and homeowners in southeastern Massachusetts with expertise and care. For over 25 years, CCL has partnered with Anderson Windows, the most trusted name in windows and doors. Located in Abington on the South Shore, our beautiful CCL Homescape Showroom features high-quality Anderson 400 series products. With Anderson, CCL provides our builder, remodeler, and homeowner customers the support you deserve, and that makes CCL a name you can build on. CCL and Anderson, a great team.
Learn more at cclco.biz/aw.
Hey, Becky, what about this beat for your next song?
It's cool, but I'm into faster stuff lately, like Xfinity that gives me beyond gig speeds.
Got it. What about this, then?
It sounds powerful, just like Xfinity. Because its supersonic Wi-Fi has 3 times the bandwidth, you can connect.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.